Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Shri Radhe Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Shri Radhe Jaya Kishore Kishori Jaya Kishore Kishori Jaya Kishore Kishori Jaya Kishore Kishori Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada Jai Jai Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtutana Shrita Shri Shkima His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Sudarshan Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai All glory to the assembled devotees Vaishnava Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai All glory to Shri Guru and Gauranga All glory to Srila Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet nashtapraishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishne swadamo pagate dharma gyana dibisaha kalo nashta drisham esha puranarko dunodita sadasevya shrimad bhagavati kata Yasya Shavana Matrena Harishchittam Samashrayet Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute Hare Krishna, good morning. Once again, we're doing the Govardhan Leela. We're reading from the Govardhan Leela. Canto 10, Chapter 24. Text 20 and 21. So 20 is on the board, so we'll read that first and then I'll read 21. Varteta Brahmana Vipro Rajanyo Rakshaya Bhuvaha Vaishyastu Vartaya Jivich Chudrastu Dvijasevaya Varteta Brahmana Vipro Rajanyo Rakshaya Bhuvaha Vaishyastu Vartaya Jivich Chudrastu Dvijasevaya. Please chant. For word, Varteta lives, Brahmana by the Vedas, Vipraha the Brahmana, Rajanya the member of the ruling class, Rakshaya by protection, Bhuvaha of the earth, Vaishyaha the Vaishya. 2. On the other hand, Vartaya, by trade, Jivet, lives, Shudraha, the Shudra, 2. And Dvija Sevaya, by serving the twice born Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. In the translation, the Brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas. The member of the royal order by protecting the earth. The Vaishya by trade and the Shudra by serving the higher twice-born classes. And the purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After glorifying karma or work, Lord Krishna now explains what he means by prescribed duties born of one's nature. He was not referring to any whimsical activity, but rather to the religious duties prescribed in the Varnashram, or Vedic social system. So now I'll just read text 21, which doesn't have a purport. Kushivani jagodaksha kshu kusidam turyamuchyate varta chaturvidatatra vayamgo vritayonisham. The occupational duties of the Vaishya are conceived in 4 divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. Om Agyanati Minandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Mina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakripasindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so here we go again. It's just you and me, please, and all of them, of course. Please bless me that I can say something which is useful, maybe useful for you, at least purifying for me. There's so much in this chapter to really cover, and you know, this Leela is, it's just, it's so much. Actually, though, I found myself when I started to, when I looked at these two verses, I thought, my gosh, of all the directions one could go with these particular verses, I didn't know where to go. It's like, am I going to talk about Varnashram or what? You know, what am I going to speak about? And at the last minute, literally, maybe 20 minutes ago, some idea came into my head. As I actually just decided, you know what? I have no idea, so I'm just going to read the Bhagavatam. So I'm in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam right now. So for 45 minutes, I read the Bhagavatam. And then something clicked. And so hopefully it comes out a little bit fluid, because there's been practically no time to prepare. So please forgive me for that. We'll see how it goes. So I'll start with a question, which is, it's the same question that comes up in this part of the pastime for me. Practically any time I look at any verse in it is, why is Krishna orchestrating all of this? Why is he going to such a great length to bewilder the Vrajvasis and to bring this catastrophe into Vraj? Because so many demons come to Vraj, and then he kills them, does away with them, and protects Vraj, protects the Vrajvasis, and ultimately has some fun doing it. But this pastime is very special because he actually is the catalyst for the whole thing. He's the one who brings Indra in and causes this crazy devastation and all of this. So why? Why does Krishna do this? And there are many answers to that. There are 5 or 6 different directions you can go. But I'd like to zoom in on one right now, which first, in order to explain, we have to understand who Giriraj is and what the importance of Giriraj's position is in Vrindavan. And this, for many devotees, is a bit of an ambiguous thing. Because Krishna outright, later on, will say, Shailosmi. He'll say, I'm the hill. I am this mountain is non-different from me. Shaila asmi. I am this hill. So Giriraj is Krishna, but he's Krishna for a very specific purpose. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna, but he has a very, very specific purpose to do what he's doing and to for his incarnation. Sometimes Prabhupada chastised his disciples and said, no, Mahaprabhu is not the incarnation of Krishna. He is Krishna. He's not an avatar. He is Krishna, which is, it's an interesting thing to look at. And so Mahaprabhu came with a very, very specific purpose. He wanted to bestow the deepest, most esoteric boundary, if there is such a thing in the realm of infinity. There aren't really any boundaries, but the last limit of love. He wanted to give that to the lowest people, because Mahaprabhu, he is the personification of magnanimity. And so what could be more magnanimous than finding the least qualified people possible and giving them the most amazing thing that all of the most qualified people are hankering for and unable to attain? We see Lakshmi Devi, she's not able to obtain a place in the Rasa dance. She's not able to obtain service to Krishna's feet. She's not even able to obtain a little of the dust. What to speak of a place situated there to serve. She can't even get a drop of dust. Therefore, the Kali and the wives of Kaliya, they say, how could our husband be so fortunate? They're also devotees, so they're aspiring for this as well. How could our husband be so fortunate that he has gotten what Lakshmi Devi pines for? And she wasn't able to get. So this is Mahaprabhu's special position. This is his purpose. One of them, again, there are many purposes, but one of his purposes is to show the highest limit of magnanimity. So Giriraj, being Krishna, he also has a very, very specific purpose. And we hear what that specific purpose is We heard it a few chapters back in the 10th canto from the mouths of the gopis, and specifically from the mouths of the best of the gopis, from the best devotee of all the devotees, because she's kind of in a class of her own. Srimati Radharani has said this, Hantaya Madhur Abala Haridasavarya. She said, oh friends, this Giriraj, he is the best devotee. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains, Haridas Varya, it has a very, very specific meaning, because there are three Haridasas in the Bhagavatam. There is, first, Yudhishthir. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, the Bhagavatam uses that terminology to describe Yudhishthir. He is Haridas. He's a very elevated devotee of Hari. Then second, I don't think it's in the 11th canto, it must be in the 47th chapter, somewhere around there, or 45th chapter, when Uddhava visits Vrindavan. He's also called Haridas because he's so intimate with Krishna and Dwarka. He's the best of the servants who live in Dwarka. So he's also called Haridas by the Bhagavatam. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, this Haridas has an additional word there, Varya, which means the best. So Giriraj, by the statement of the Bhagavatam, and further through the realizations of Raghunath Das Goswami, by the statements of Srimati Radharani herself, is Haridas Varya. He's the best of the devotees. But why? We should wonder why. Why is he the best of the devotees? There are so many devotees. The Bhagavatam also says, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Amongst the devotees, Lord Shiva, he's the best. Amongst all the devotees, Lord Shiva is the best. So why is Giriraj the best devotee? And why is Srimati Radharani proclaiming this? Well, in order to know that answer, we have to go into a little bit of what it means to be a devotee and what Krishna's definition of a devotee is. I just want to proceed in the right way with presenting this. Well, I guess we can start by looking more at what Srimati Radharani has said. So, Hantaya Madhura Bala Haridasavaryo Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Padasha Pramoda. Look at this Giriraj, she says. He is ecstatic. He's ecstatic. Why? Because Krishna and Rama are walking on him. And you can see, if you look at him, all the grass and the trees, they're all pointing straight up. He's in full ecstasy, Srimati Radharani says, Pramoda. He's very happy. Because they're walking on him every day. They're walking all over him. And so he's just relishing the touch of their feet. Spadasha Pramoda. Manam tanoti sahago ghanayos tayoriyat. And he's serving them so nicely. Pani yasuya vasakandara kandamulai. He's giving them water. He's giving them places to rest. He's giving them caves to play in. When they get a little hungry, they can just dig a little bit, take some roots, take some fruits, take some whatever they want. What is it? There's one place in the Bhagavatam, Sri Vishwanath, in the 10th canto. The water there is compared to nectar. And Sri Vishwanath says, the implication of comparing the water to the best nectar is to say, if the water tastes like nectar, imagine what the nectar tastes like. Imagine what the mango juice and all of the berries must taste like. If the water, which is the basis of taste, but in some sense it's the most wonderful taste, and in another sense it's the most plain taste. So if the most plain taste is so amazing, imagine the taste of all of the other things. So it's setting a ground there. So Giriraj, he's serving Krishna and serving all of Krishna's devotees with all of this. And Krishna's pointing this out in this chapter. He's about to, in the next few verses, he's going to say, actually, all of our subsistence is based around Govardhan Hill. So we should worship Govardhan Hill, because as he said in these verses, we're Vaishyas. And actually, for Vaishyas, we should worship where the grass comes from. Because we only do cowherding. We don't do this banking. We don't do any other type of Vaishya work. We're only cowherds. We don't even farm. They don't cultivate the land. They don't till anything. They just take care of cows and then everything works. So Krishna says, Giriraj is the one who's doing all of this. He provides the water. He provides the grass. He provides the different places for the cows to move around and graze. so we should worship him. So Krishna is confirming the words of Srimati Radharani, actually. He's saying he is the best servant of the devotees. Because that's what she said. She said, Haridasa Varya, he's the best servant. Why? Because he's the best servant of the devotees. Not directly that he's the best servant of Krishna. Not that he is doing many very intimate services. But we can see Krishna is actually most pleased when somebody serves his devotees very, very nicely. He's very, very happy with this. And so I'd like to share one story, which I heard. It's from the Sri Vaishnava tradition, which very nicely elucidates this. Is someone there? So I'll share one story which very, very nicely elucidates this feeling of Krishna, that he's very, very pleased when his devotees are served. This is a story of Ramanujacharya's guru, one of his gurus. His name is Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna, he was a devotee of Varadaraj, who's a form of Lord Vishnu in South India, who is very, very dear to Ramanujacharya. And Kanchipurna, he was so connected to Varadaraj that actually he could speak to the deity. And the deity would talk back. He would go to him and he would speak to him. And they would just have conversation more or less every day. I must be ecstatic. You know, you could just go. Imagine we could go to Kishore Kishori and they would just speak back. Hey, yeah, you know, do it like this, do it like that. Think, oh, yeah, that's, I'd like this prep today. So all the villagers, they knew this. And they would go to him and they would ask him to ask Lord Varadaraj on their behalf different things. And so one devotee, he went to Kanchipurna and he said, can you ask Lord Varadaraj when will I go to Vaikuntha? When is it going to be my time? I can't wait any longer. And so Kanchipurna, he went to him and he asked this question. And Lord Varadaraj said, tell him that at the end of this life, he'll come back. He'll come to me. And Kanchipurna went and told this devotee, and this devotee became ecstatic because you get that news, that's pretty ecstatic. It's your time is here, you've done it, it's time to go. But then Kanchipurna, he thought, wait a second. I also want to know when I'm going to go back, when I'm going to go to Vaikuntha. And so the next day he went to Lord Varadaraj and he said, when will I come back to Vaikuntha? Can you tell me that? And Lord Varadaraj said, oh, Kanchipurna, you know you're very dear to me. You're very, very close to my heart. But, there's the but. He said, but it's going to take you a long time to come to Vaikuntha. And Kanchipurna became very sad. He said, what? You know? All this time, you speak to me, you know, what is this? You know, why will it take so long? And Lord Varadaraj, she said, you see, you haven't performed very much Vaishnav Seva. You haven't served the devotees so nicely. You've done some. Mostly you're absorbed in serving me, which is wonderful. I speak to you. I said, you're very dear to me, but you haven't done so much Vaishnav Seva. And so you can't come back so soon. And so Kanchipurna, from that moment, he resolved, I will do Vaishnav Seva. I must do Vaishnav Seva. He actually went to a farm of his godbrothers. I don't know where it was. And he would serve the cows there, because it was a goshala. And he would also serve the Vaishnavas. But Kanchipurna, he was very famous, because everybody knew him. Nobody wanted to take service from him either. So he had to disguise himself. And he would stay far away. He would just stay on the farm, but he would try to stay as much away from the other devotees as possible and away from his godbrother. It's actually said that his godbrother didn't even know it was him. He just thought, this is another person who's come and wants to work on the farm. He wants to serve the cows. And he would do whatever services he could do without being noticed. And he did this for some time. And eventually his godbrother, he started to notice, this person is doing such nice service, and I've never even really spoken to him. I'd never even come so near him. Every time he would try to come near him, he would disappear. He would run off. He would see him coming, and he would run across the field or go somewhere else. You know, like he had some other business. And so one day, finally, he caught this person. He said, "Hey, who are you? I just want to say thank you, and you're doing such nice service." And he recognized he's Kanchipurna. He's, no, you can't. Why are you doing such lowly things? You can't do this. You're Kanchipurna. You speak to Lord Varadaraj. You are such a dear devotee of the Lord. Please don't do this." And so then Kanchipurna, he had to stop. And he went back to his village. He went back to where Lord Varadaraj is. And he spoke to Lord Varadaraj again. And he said, "When will I be able to come back?" And Lord Varadaraj said, "Now. Now you've done so much Vaishnav Seva. And you've seen the ecstasy that there is in Vaishnav Seva. Now you'll come back. No, the end of this life. No problem." So we can see how much Krishna's heart is moved when his devotees are served. And so what to speak of this Haridasa Varya, this Giriraj, he's serving the best devotees. He's the best servant of the best devotees because he's serving all the devotees in Vraj. We don't say best or better in the traditional sense because as Prabhupada has told us, everything is perfect in the spiritual world. But in the gradation, I can go, or maybe Prabhu can go. In the gradation of perfection, we just have more and more and more and more and most and just it just goes more and more. Everything is perfect, but it's more and more and more. So Giriraj, he's serving the most intimate devotees of Krishna. And he's making them most happy. And he does it with all humility in every way. He gives everything that he can. He never speaks up and says, "Hey, I need this. You know, I want that." He's just a humble servant through and through. And this is so, so pleasing for Krishna. And actually, this is Krishna who's doing this. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his purpose, has his purpose. Giriraj is also Krishna because Krishna has such a desire to do this type of service. Krishna wants to facilitate his devotees' happiness in every way possible. And he has to come up with genius ways to do it because this is the transcendental battle of love. That when you love somebody, you don't want them to do things for you and you want to do things for them. And when someone loves you, they don't want you to do things for them and they want to do things for you. And so Krishna is like this with his devotees. And his devotees are like this with him. They're constantly trying to outdo one another and also not accept what the other person is doing because they don't want to take service. Prahlad Maharaj says, no. I don't want benedictions. I'm not a merchant. I didn't go through all of this. I wasn't sitting there in the snake pit and I wasn't thinking when I was launched off the mountain or under the feet of the elephants that, yes, my Lord will be so happy and he's going to give me so much when I get through this. I just want to think about you. I just want to meditate on you. Don't ask me to ask you for something. What do I have to ask you for? This is what Prahlad Maharaj said. This is the mood of a devotee. No, I don't want anything. And then finally, after Lord Nrisimhadev said, "No, you have to ask me for something. I want you to ask me for something. Therefore, you should ask me for something." Prahlad Maharaj found a way to ask him for something that it wasn't actually him asking for anything. So he found a way to please Lord Nrisimhadev without actually asking him for something on his own behalf. He said, "Okay, you let me stay around your devotees. You let me serve Narada." Because again, Prahlad Maharaj knows that you'll actually be happier if I serve this wonderful devotee. And you give my father, ultimately, the shelter of your lotus feet. Which, anyway, he was killed by Lord Vishnu. He's a very special person. He's Jai. He's a very special person. So Prahlad Maharaj found a way to give Lord Nrisimhadev what he was asking without actually asking him for anything. It's you can see they're so expert. This very special exchange goes on between Krishna and his devotees. And so Krishna is also trying to get in on that from the other side. So he does this. He takes this form of Giriraj in order to serve the devotees in this way. Because actually Krishna is completely bound by his devotees' love. He's totally bound. He can't move an inch without his devotee's consent. This is elucidated in a covered way by so many pastimes. But Rupa Goswami, he very clearly tells us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the final result of prema, or the final result of bhakti, is Sri Krishna Akarshani. That Krishna is completely bound by bhakti. It is the thing that takes Krishna and it ties him up, and he's completely bound. This is actually the very special, intimate secret of the Damodar Leela. That Mother Yashoda, she bound Krishna. But this rasa, this Leela, was actually shown in Vatsalya Ras in order to elucidate the same principles in a way that the world could understand. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the reason we say, I know it's not Kartik, but anyway, these things aren't only limited to Kartik. The reason we say, Jai Radha Damodar. Many devotees have thought about this and wondered, it doesn't make sense. We're looking at Yashoda Damodar. Why Radha Damodar? Because actually, in one of the other Puranas, we get a more detailed explanation and a different place where this pastime took place. One time, Krishna showed up late for meeting Radharani. He showed up late and she was very, very angry because he was 3, 4, 5 hours late. He was quite late. And she took him immediately and she took a golden belt and she tied him to a tree. He couldn't resist. There was no chasing. There was no finding extra sashes. There was no, you know, oh, let me try it. He's finished. He's stuck. He's tied to the tree. And he had to beg to be released. He said, you please let me go. I'm sorry. Krishna's bound by the love of his devotees. This is why we say Jai Radha Damodar after we sing the Damodar Ashtakam. This is what Satyavrata Muni is speaking about in the end of his prayers. This is the depth of this point that Rupa Goswami is bringing out, this Sri Krishna Akarshani. Krishna is completely bound by his devotees. Therefore, he wants to serve them. Therefore, he takes this place as Giriraj because he wants to offer some service to those devotees in a way that they don't exactly know it's him. And so he does this. And I have one more story that I'd like to share because it's very wonderful and it really brings this point home. Because the one about Kanchipurna, it explains the importance of Vaishnav Seva. Because Lord Vishnu says, you have to go serve my devotees, and then he serves the devotees, and then we see Lord Varadaraja's heart is moved. But there's another story. So, there was one sadhu who, he was a householder, and he really liked to do Vaishnav Seva. He didn't do so much other sadhana, but his desire was to do nice Vaishnav Seva. And so, he made it his spiritual practice that if there was any Vaishnav that came to his town, any Vaishnav that came around him, he would take them in, he would take care of them, wash their clothes, whatever was necessary, feed them. He just did as much as he could to perpetuate as much Vaishnav Seva as possible. No discrimination, no, oh, are you from this group or that. You're a Vaishnava, you come here, you stay here, you eat for free, you sleep here, your clothes will be washed. As much as we can do, we'll do for you. And so he was trying to expand this as much as possible. And he was thinking, if only I had someone to work under me. If only I had a servant who also would like to do some Vaishnav Seva, then I could do so much more Vaishnav Seva. Because what one person can do, you double it if you have two people. You know, and if you have somebody who's very, if you're intelligent, if you're a good manager, then with one person working and your mind freed up to orchestrate other things, maybe you can triple it, quadruple it. So he's thinking, if only I had a servant. And so one day, one man came and knocked on his door. And this man had tattered cloth, shabby everything, long hair, didn't look so great. But he had some kind of effulgence underneath all of that. He seemed very, very brilliant. And so he knocked on the door. And this sadhu, or this Vaishnav, who likes to do Vaishnav Seva, he answered the door and he said, yes, who are you? And they talked for a minute and he said, oh, my name is Antaryami. And I've heard that you like to do Vaishnav Seva. And so I would like to become your servant. And this Prabhu, he thought, I was just thinking about this. This is perfect. I need a servant to help me do Vaishnav Seva. And he said, okay, what are you good at? Can you wash clothes nicely? Do you cook okay? Or, you know, what can you... And he said, I can do all sorts of Vaishnav Seva. Actually, I'm very well trained. I can you know, do whatever you need. And he gave this and this list of his qualifications and how long he's done them. And so this Prabhu, he was very, very happy. And so he said, great, you can stay. Please, you're welcome here. And so then Antaryami, he said, but I have one condition. Not so many people are able to keep me because I eat a lot. I really like to eat. And so, if you can cook enough for me to be satisfied, I will do whatever you want. I'll do any amount of Vaishnav Seva that you need. And so, this Prabhu said, okay, how much is it that you eat? And he said, well, I have about 5 kilos of rice and about 10 kilos of dal and a couple sabjis and some lassi. I really eat a lot. So if you can handle that, then everything will work out. And so this Prabhu said, no problem. You don't worry about it. You come, my wife will cook for you every day. And he said, and please don't complain about this. Because, you know, I've been to so many places and it always comes back to this. And then there's this complaint. And I just, you know, I won't stay around. And so Antaryami, he started doing Vaishnav Seva. And Antaryami was so efficient that this Prabhu was able to increase his Vaishnav Seva by 100-fold. So many devotees, he was able to take care of them like he had 100 forms. It was amazing. He was able to take care of all the devotees and then some. People started to hear about how nicely the devotees were taken care of, and they would go there. And they would see that this person is really a Vaishnava. He's taking care of the devotees so nicely. And he would eat. The only person who was suffering was this Prabhu's wife, because she was cooking. And my God, the way this Antaryami was eating, she was cooking mounds of rice, and she was getting tired day after day after some months. She was exhausted. And so one day she was talking to one of her friends, and she was saying, yes, you know, it's very nice. We're doing such nice Vaishnav Seva, but this Prabhu, he eats so much. I'm in the kitchen all day. I don't leave the kitchen. I finish cooking one meal, and then he's hungry again. I have to cook more. And my husband has said give him whatever he wants, so I'm stuck. And Antaryami, he heard this. And he left. He packed his bags that night, and he left. And so the next day, this Prabhu was thinking, my God, where is he gone? Where is Antaryami? How will we do the... He was doing such Vaishnav Seva. How will we be able to keep up the standard without him? And then he found out that his wife had complained a little bit. And he said, you fool, how could you do such a thing? He was such a good servant. He did such nice Vaishnav Seva. This was the only thing I wanted. How could you mess this up? And so he just sat and cried, this Prabhu. Did you please, I hope, please, Krishna, please send this person back. I want to do some nice Vaishnav Seva. Please send this person back. And then he had a dream where Antaryami, he came to him in a dream and he showed him, actually, I'm that Antaryami. I'm the super soul. I'm Krishna. And I came because I saw that you were doing such Vaishnav Seva and I also want to do Vaishnav Seva. I also want to do nice Vaishnav Seva. And you gave me such an opportunity to serve so many Vaishnavas. Actually, I'm so happy. And so this Prabhu, then he was bewildered because he was like, oh my God, Krishna was serving me? What is this? I'm trying to do Vaishnav Seva and I made Krishna my servant? Because this is how the devotees are. Rupa and Sanatan also went through the same thing. Rupa Goswami, he made some sweet rice because some beautiful girl came and brought all the ingredients. Because he had a desire to make something nice and then give it to Sanatan Goswami after it was offered to the deities. And then when Sanatan Goswami tasted it, he said, who has made where did you get the ingredients for this? And then Rupa Goswami said, well, some beautiful girl came and she said, my mother sent me from the village and wanted me to give you all these things. And so I thought it's Krishna's arrangement. And I made this sweet rice. And he said, describe the girl. And so he described her. She's golden. She has beautiful long black hair that the braid looks like a serpent. And Sanatana Goswami chastised him. That was Srimati Radharani, you fool. We're praying every day for her service. Our goal is her service. And you took service from her. You're such a fool. So devotees, they feel like this when they get put in these awkward positions. Really, this actually shows the exalted nature of Rupa Goswami and his desires that Srimati Radharani wanted to come and do some service. and help him serve Sanatan Goswami. But so this Prabhu, he was in a similar predicament. He was now thinking, my God, Krishna came and he became my servant. How fallen am I? I'm such a rascal. We're trying to serve the Vaishnavas. We're trying to serve Krishna. And Krishna came and became my servant. And so then Antaryami said, don't think like this. I did this because you're such a nice devotee and because I'm so happy. And I did this to show how dear Vaishnav Seva is to me, that I want to come do it. I want to come and wash my devotees' clothes. I want to come and cook some little thing for them. I want to sweep the floor of my devotees' home. I want to do these things. We see this in so many pastimes with Krishna. He takes the feet of Sudama Brahmana. He's also showing this to show how worshipful the Brahmanas are, but Sudama was his dear devotee and his dear friend. Sudama Brahmana was such a poor, dirty, bedraggled Vaishnava. And Krishna sat him on his bed, washed his feet, and drank the foot water. Mind you, he had just finished with a 1,000-mile hike from his home. He washed his feet and drank the water with relish because he loves to serve his devotees. Krishna is head over heels, completely captivated by his devotees, Sri Krishna Akarshini. And so the point, one of the points, what we can say, the main point of Giriraj's existence is because he is Krishna who wants to serve the Vaishnavas. And he wants to serve the best Vaishnavas. He wants to serve the Vrajvasis. So this is Giriraj. This is the Govardhan Leela. This is why Krishna has picked Govardhan up and used him to defeat Indra. Because he's saying, just see how amazing this servant is of mine. This is why Srimati Radharani in the Bhagavatam says, Hantayam Adurabala Haridasavaryo. He's the best of the devotees. Because who could be a better devotee than Krishna as a devotee? And so therefore we worship Giriraj as a devotee, as somebody who serves all of Krishna. Even now in Vraj, he serves the monkeys, he serves the thieves, he serves everybody, anyone who takes shelter of him. There is not a more magnanimous shelter in Vraj than Giriraj. The Vrajvasis will attest to that. There is not a more magnanimous shelter in Vraj than Giriraj. They all go to him, they say, he's Baba. They don't even have a proper conception because most Vrajvasis are very simple people. But they know, we take our problems to him, and we do parikram, and then our problems work out. Whether it's a university test, or whether it's, I'm trying to have a baby, and it's not working, or it's something more spiritual, no matter what it is. They go, and they have faith because it works. The entirety of Vraj in that part of Uttar Pradesh would not have faith in something that doesn't work. Actually, Prabhupada said that. I heard this from Burijan Prabhu. And he said, this is one of the proofs for the existence of Krishna consciousness. That just look at Govardhan Hill. Just see how many people are doing a 30-kilometer hike around Govardhan Hill every day. And specifically on the big days, if you go on Guru Purnim, it's packed. It's like 100,000 people are there walking around Govardhan Hill. Do you think they're all fools? No, they're experiencing something. Giriraj reciprocates. He reciprocates. Giriraj is very magnanimous. He's very, very magnanimous. So this is what I could churn out of these two verses. I'm sorry it wasn't so connected to the verses, but I got two kind of difficult verses to tie in. It's a little easier if you can just flow through the chapter. This verse-by-verse stuff with leelas like this, it can sometimes be a little harrowing. So please forgive me. Yadatra skalitam kinchit. Shoshtavam vidvam sapurayantu tat yat atra shoshtavam kinchit tad guru reva menahi. If you saw some fault here, then please correct it. You're all wonderful Vaishnavas. And if you saw something nice here, tad guru reva menahi. It's not my guru's. Or it's not mine, it's my guru's. Now listen to me, a fool. I'm just parroting things. So please, if there are any comments or questions.
Mother Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, bro. Thank you for your class.
You gotta speak up, bro.
Hello.
I know you're good at it. You just start soft, but you can...
depending on the speaker. The speaker cuts. No, I'm just kidding. can you hear me? Can you hear me now? That commercial. Can you hear me now? Thank you for your class, and I agree with you. The last comment, my brother also said, we did this for a while. It's not like we did verse by verse, but we did a series of verses. And but you still, you know, you have the ability to churn out nice nectar from whatever.
I just disregard the.
Well, you should speak about Krishna, so it's still connected. But you were mentioning, a necessary anga of bhakti, Vaishnava Sevananda. So the immediate thing that came to my mind is that one obstacle in serving devotees is that it's very easy to perform Vaishnava Sevananda. Vaishnava Sevananda. He's going to hear this class.
He can't get the Vaishnavas out of his mind.
It's easy to perform Vaishnava Sevananda, when the devotees are nice, but, you know, it's not so easy when. And the immediate thing that came to mind is chapter 89 of Krishna book. It describes that pastime where Bhriga Muni, he ignores Brahma, insults Shiva, and kids Vishnu. And the reason I love this pastime is because we see that Brahma is the starter of the universe. Shiva's he ends the universe, and Vishnu maintains the universe. So we see that starting Vaishnava Seva, that's easy. Ending Vaishnava Seva, even easier. Maintaining Vaishnava Sevananda. And Lord Vishnu in his pastime describes how we can maintain our Vaishnava Seva mentality by forgiveness, tolerance, Bhriga Muni Kittam, he says. But the interesting thing about this pastime is that this pastime is further revealed in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And maybe you could expand on some of these points. This is in the third part of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anshakand, chapter 9. And so this pastime of Bhriga Muni kicking Lord Vishnu appears at the end of the chapter. And the interesting thing about that pastime, it says that if we see somebody like Bhriga Muni mistreating, disrespecting his superiors, naturally we would think this is an aparadhi. But it actually describes that Lord Krishna appeared, Antaryami, you use his word, Antaryami, the super soul. The Lord appeared within the heart of Bhriga Muni and forced him to disrespect his superiors. And it describes in that chapter that anyone who sees Bhriga Muni as an aparadhi, an offender, not knowing the Lord's purpose, that person who criticized Bhriga Muni, he's the aparadhi. So the lesson I learned is that if we criticize the criticizers, then we're also criticizing, not knowing that that person may have been authorized to criticize, and we haven't been authorized to criticize. So my question is that how to maintain your Vaishnava Seva attitude. You know, when we see that you do so much for devotees, they may turn on you and they may criticize you. And we see this goes on, not knowing that maybe the Lord is testing our sincere qualities. So how? What are some other pointers you've learned in your own life to maintain your own positive devotional attitude towards devotees when devotees may not work according to our conceptions? And maybe because I don't know if my question was clear, but anyways.
I liked your... your analogy, I never heard it put that way. This whole, it's easy to start, it's even easier to end, but it's very difficult to maintain. I never heard that, but I appreciate it. That's pretty cool. Well, I mean, I think you kind of wrapped it up right in your explanation there with your question. And at the very end, you said, when we don't know that Krishna is trying to test to test us, but the very fact that you say that implies that you know, and that we know. Actually, at a base level, all of us know, if we're serious sadhakas, we know at a core, from a core place, that Krishna is testing us with the situation. Whether or not we want to be mature enough to actually approach that and see it like that, or we want to slip into the much easier, immature route that we've run for most of our lives of denying that it could be a test from Krishna, and looking at it as an external force who's trying to ruin our lives, that's our choice. But in just right in the words of your question, you said, how can we maintain our attitude of Vaishnava Seva when we don't necessarily know if Krishna is trying to test? We know, and you know, just the way you worded it, we know that that's what Krishna is doing. It's up to us to live up to that. If we live up to that, then things will get easier and we'll start to see Krishna's will in the situation. And if we don't, and we consciously go the other direction, it's going to get more convoluted. And then we see Krishna will have to send louder and louder messages because it's okay, you didn't get it. I have to turn the heat up. Now I'm going to send you somebody who's even more infuriating. I'm going to send you somebody who scrapes your skin even harder than this person. And so it's in our best interest, even if we're selfish, to start to learn the lessons and to start to get it. Because Krishna is the best teacher. He's the best teacher. And he's like the most amazing father one could ever imagine. He knows how to teach a lesson. And he always does it perfectly, and he always does it exactly with our best interest at hand, doing exactly what we need at any time. And if he sees we need more, he'll turn it up. He says this or rather, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in the purport to 10.88.8, that he's like a father who's giving medicine. He's giving neem juice to his son. The son doesn't know that this is, you know, good for me, and he hates it, and it's the most awful thing he's ever tasted. But the father knows this is eventually going to make you better. So we have to keep that in mind. To keep that in mind, we have to keep reading about Krishna, and we have to keep hearing about Krishna. That's my answer for that. It's hard. It's hard because it's not because we don't know. It's because it's much easier, and we're conditioned to snap into the immature place. Because it's just easier. It's easier to unconsciously continue what we've always done and just fight. Fighting is the easiest because it doesn't really require so much thought. It doesn't require one to reason through a situation. Fighting is just a gut reaction. It's the lowest animal place we can click into. And so if we fight and fight and fight, then we can become an animal. You fight and fight and fight, and if you want to fight, then go fight like a tiger. You know, fight like the dogs in the street, if that's what we want. But if we want to be reasonable, rational people, then, yeah, that's what this human birth is for. What is it? Jivasya tattva jigyasa. The human life is meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. What's the other one? Atato brahma jigyasya. The Vedanta Sutra starts now, which means now that you've become a little inquisitive, it's time to inquire about the absolute truth. So this is what life is for. Actually, I was just reading in the end. No, this was Prabhupada speaking in the very beginning of the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's explaining, Kaviraj Goswami is actually explaining the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam, the Chatushloki of the Bhagavatam. And the last one is Anvaya Vyatirekasya Sarvatra Sarvada. Something, something. At all times, everywhere, directly and indirectly, one should inquire about the absolute truth. Now, what this means, if we break the technical wording away from it, it means that at all times we should be conscious to understand how is Krishna acting in my life, if we're devotees. Because that means we want to understand what is this that's being orchestrated in my life and how is it going to purify me. Anyway, I won't keep waffling on. That's my answer to your question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ujjvala Prabhu, you had spent...
Can you turn it up, Jai Baladev?
It's all right. I'll speak louder. I'll speak louder. You don't have to, Jai Baladev. I'll speak louder. I'll put the microphone very close. You had particularly emphasized the point that devotees... don't in some sense avoid wanting to ask Krishna something for themselves. And you use three different examples and in fact highlighted that the exchanges are on such an extraordinary level that even with, in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he's fulfilling the request on the part of Lord Nrisingadev to please ask him for some boon in such a way that it's still for the benefit of someone else. So I guess the question comes to mind, particularly because you were tying up that point with the purpose of this Govardhan Leela being that Krishna's getting a chance to demonstrate his liking for serving. So... taking into account that connection that you made, the question comes to mind, is it not implicit in every devotee to actually indirectly or directly be looking to Krishna for protection. So this particular pastime is very much connected to him serving in some sort of way of providing protection. So I'm just posing the question to you. So there is that not wishing to have something for oneself, but it seems almost implicit yes. that there's an asking for protection or taking shelter of for the purpose of protection.
Yes. Actually, that's such a wonderful question. Jiva Goswami explains of the six limbs of Sharanagati that the main two, and really the main one, I can't remember the Sanskrit terms, but the Bengali terms, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has rendered them, the first one is Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, which means considering Krishna as my protector, Rakshibe, considering that Krishna will protect me, and thinking in that way. And then the most important one, which is the same as it is in Sanskrit, is Goptritve Varana, which means knowing and having firm faith that through anything, Krishna is my only maintainer. Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur subsequently explained that this is actually the very essence of Sharanagati. And Krishna says this. He says, give up all dharmas and you surrender unto me and know I will protect you from all fear. I will protect you from all sin. None of that will be able to touch you if you're my devotee. So this is, it's such a powerful thing. And it's very, very important for a sadhaka to understand as they move towards Krishna consciousness. And it's something that, and don't quote me on this because now I'm entering into the realm of my understanding of the thing, but I can't quote you a verse for this, so I'll say take it with a grain of salt. This is something that for very, very elevated devotees, it fades into the background because they're just so in love with Krishna, and they just know they don't have to intellectually think Krishna will protect me or like this. Their just natural inclination is to actually. I do have a small pramanam for this, and that's Rupa Goswami's writing of the word Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. So, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Actually, the question can be raised: why did he write Abhilashita instead of Abhilasha? Because Abhilasha means desire. So bhakti should be devoid of all desires. But Rupa Goswami, he's given a very intelligent addendum here. Abhilashita. He says it should be devoid almost completely of all desires. And then this clause that he's written says that if the devotee is all of a sudden in some grave danger or something happens, then he may involuntarily call out, "Oh Krishna, please protect me." Say you're walking and all of a sudden you find yourself on train tracks and the train is 10 feet away from you and you, "Oh Krishna!" You know, or you fall down and, "Oh Krishna!" This type of thing, it's natural for a devotee to take shelter of Krishna because he has Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. His intelligence is completely endowed with Krishna. He's only thinking about Krishna at all times. And so naturally, if something crazy happens, some intense thing happens, he calls out to Krishna as his only shelter. "Oh, you please protect me. You please help me." So we see this. It's something that's there. But Krishna is also showing with the Govardhan Leela that you should give up all of these other shelters and give up. There are seven things that are said to be given up, and I won't list them now because I can't remember them. But the Vrajvasis gave up all of these seven things. One was the shelter of Indra. One was their own position. And like that, and this was Krishna showing that all of these should be given up and one should completely take shelter of me. But it becomes, when we talk about the highest devotees, it fades into the background a bit because there's just that love for Krishna. And then we see so much that they actually feel, "I'm protecting Krishna." Mother Yashoda, she never thinks, "I have to take shelter of Krishna," actually, because that would completely destroy Vatsalya Rasa. If she thought, this child is maintaining me, she couldn't be his mother. She couldn't chastise him. She couldn't feed him. She couldn't make him get up in the morning. She couldn't go and tell him, "No, please don't go out in the forest today. Your feet will be hurt today. Why don't you just stay in the village?" It wouldn't work. So therefore Prabhupada said that on the highest platform, the difference between master and servant dissolves. It just becomes... It's not that, obviously, we're not Brahmavadis, so it's not that we merge into the existence of Krishna. It's that relationship, it looks totally different from what we would conceive from a sadhaka perspective, from a sadhaka perspective, and this is why Prabhupada said the deities are Lakshmi Narayan until one has the right conception of Krishna. From the sadhaka perspective, we're praying to God to maintain us. We're suffering so much outside. So many things are happening to us. Life is so difficult. And so we have to do that. Therefore, these limbs of Sharanagati are there to teach us. You have to take Krishna as your maintainer and understand that he will maintain you. Not only that he's theoretically your maintainer, but you should test it. That's what Sharanagati is telling us. You test it and you see, will he maintain me? And then you'll see, you will never slip. Things will never go wrong if you take shelter of Krishna. It's difficult. But I think every sadhaka goes through that in the most unbelievable circumstances, if you actually just say, you know what, I don't have any other repose, I have to take shelter of Krishna, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna, then we'll see, and then that faith starts to come. And then it also, I think, it becomes something that as you gain more faith in it, it becomes a little more passive. Because you realize that actually, as long as my intention is right, and as long as I really am trying to carry out the order of my spiritual master, I'm really trying to undergo the process of bhakti in whatever phase of life I'm in, then things just work out. I can certainly say that in my limited time of practice, I've been graced with some very, very difficult situations that allowed me to experience this, and I have some implicit faith that as long as I am not intentionally being manipulative of the process, then Krishna will take care of things. So I think it's like that. So it has to be there for sadhakas. Sorry for the long-winded answer. It has to be there. And it's there for pure devotees because they have very, very deep, deep Krishna consciousness. And if something crazy happens, they just call out to Krishna. Look at Queen Kunti. Look at Draupadi. She's a wonderful example. You just, oh Govinda, please help me. And just like that. Yeah, sorry. Long-winded answer. Forgive me. Hare Krishna Nityananda Prabhu. Welcome. So I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Sudarshan Ji Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.